Hey, this is Sven from Aborted, and you're listening to Into the Combine podcast.
Hey, what's going on, all you metal listeners out there? This is
Into the Combine!
What's up, all you metalheads? This is a special episode of Into the Combine podcast. Just me today, Shoddy, still on his honeymoon. Congrats to him for his recent wedding. And Stan the Man, who knows what he's doing. But special episode to get you guys by until our next full episode with the rest of the guys. I recently spoke with George Coleus of Nile. If you don't know George, yeah, he's one of the best extreme metal drummers out there. One of the fastest. And he's just a machine. He also has a solo album called Invictus. Super good. Does the vocals. He does the drums, the guitars, bass, everything. If you like Nile, you know, definitely check it out. Quite a bit different, you know, with him doing the guitars and everything. But kind of in the same realm. And then if you're a drummer, you know, check out his DVDs. He's got two metal DVDs. I think they're called like Extreme Drumming, something like that. If you Google George Coleus DVDs, you'll see it. And then I believe he's got a book out. And just check him out on YouTube. He's awesome. I mean, if you've never watched any YouTube videos of him, you know, he does these different kind of techniques. He was the first person I ever saw to do, you know, 1 foot blast beats and his swinging heel techniques and all that. So we talk about some of that. We talked about, you know, triggers in metal. Since that's kind of a hot topic sometimes, using triggers. Is it cheating? Is it not? Had him recap the whole thing in Russia when they were on tour with Belphegor with some religious people, basically trying to shut their show down and kind of trying to entice them in an airport and everything to start a fight. So we touched on that and, you know, his whole story and everything. We're going to start things off with a track from Nile, the album Annihilation of the Wicked. I believe it was the first one with George on it. Before that, they had a different drummer, and then George came on for that album and has been with them ever since. And then we're going to do, at the end of the interview, we'll play a track from his solo album, Invictus. Didn't pick out the songs yet. I'm going to pick those out in a minute here before I throw this episode together. But I'll put the song titles in the description if anyone's interested. So check it out. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. And hopefully we'll be back with a couple more episodes, you know, within a couple weeks. So we will we'll let you guys know. Thanks and stay metal. I've been reading a lot about you and kind of what you've been up to and everything. It sounds like you are extremely busy. Can you just kind of give it a little rundown of kind of everything you're involved with?
Oh, man. Right now, I'm not that busy. You know, for the first time after like at least, I don't know, 12 years or so, you know, I just have a small break with the band and with clinics and everything, and I enjoy a little bit of family time. I just had a kid, you know, like a year ago. So,
oh, congrats.
Thank you. It was really important for me to get some time off. We finished a European tour about a month and something ago, and we have a small break for another month. Then we start Summer Slaughter in the States, mm-hmm. the whole tour for about a month. And then the party is starting. So I'm going to be very, very busy with clinics and some session work, which is coming for me. There is a really important session work I'm planning with a jazz fusion band, which I'm very excited. You know, this is going to be a big challenge for me. So there are some things coming, clinics, some drum camps. We have this lab music education camp in Greece with Virgil Donati, Gergo Borlai, and some others this October. Many, many events. You know, it's going to be a busy winter. For sure.
Right. So when you're off right now, you know, how much of your day do you actually spend on the drums?
Lately, not so much. I mean, I'm on and off. For example, I'm going to spend, for example, like 5 days with family, and then, you know, 5 days I'm going to push it for like 6 hours a day, for example. Hmm. I'm preparing myself for this October gig with this jazz fusion band, and I'm practicing like really different stuff, you know, like different songs. It's a whole new different world. So I'm trying to get into it slowly and understand the music very well. So I'm on and off, but when I'm on, I'm really on, you know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of my questions too, because since you've been at it for a long time and the level that you're at, how much time do you spend practicing, you know, Nile material or your own material versus kind of trying to maybe learn new things or you know, new techniques?
Yeah. Well, the new things come, they come from different genres, usually. You know, I mean, I'm going to practice some favorite drummers in chops and, you know, like licks and, you know, stuff like this, some gospel stuff, some jazzy stuff, you know, and then try to get them in death metal, for example. The latest new album, for example, the latest Nile album, for example, has some new ideas, which I'm very proud, you know, like I worked and, you know, got some different stuff in the music. And yeah, that's it pretty much.
Okay.
Usually I'm spending a lot of time practicing with music. It's really important for me, you know, to, for example, if you want to practice gospel chops, I, you know, usually copy some other drummers, you know, try to learn some things and get them into my world, you know, and then I will play them in my way, but then I will get some music and, you know, try to apply them in the music. Otherwise, you know, for me, it makes no sense. As far as Nile stuff and, you know, this extreme stuff, I don't really practice extreme metal anymore, but I do play our songs very often, you know. So we have a set list, which is pretty long, and I will get into it like 3 times a week, sometimes 4, depends, you know, when it comes closer to the tour, just to keep it, you know, keep my chops up, you know, and get ready for the tour, because it's a very tough world, you know, sometimes, yeah. You know, different stages and, you know, bad sound. So I try to prepare myself with, in, you know, worst case scenario, for example.
Is with extreme metal, is that kind of where you started, or where, what was your beginning as far as playing goes? Did you kind of meld into it as you went, or did you start with that?
When I started playing drums, there was no extreme metal, actually. I think it came about 1 or 2 years later with some, the first death metal bands, for example, like Morbid Angel, and later on Deicide, Obituary, you know, these bands. But when I started playing drums was, you know, there were bands like, you know, Metallica were kind of like into the extreme side, you know, and of course, you know, bands like thrash metal bands like Sepultura and Creator, Sodom, all these thrash bands, which I grew up with and I still love, you know, I still love playing their stuff and listening to the stuff. So I would say I'm a thrash drummer. But, you know, then, you know, I heard Morbid Angel, I got into the music and I'm like, okay, this is really cool. You know, this is really, they pushing their limits. And, you know, of course, I want to do the same for me. You know, I just wanted to be better and more extreme. So here we go.
Right. Was that what you kind of practice then too? Were you, you know, did you teach yourself by learning their songs, or did you, you know, kind of learn and then just come to that at some point?
Yes, it was all by ear for the first 10 years. I would say 9 to 10 years. There were no YouTube videos back then, so it was really, really tough, you know. But on the other hand, I feel very lucky because I had to work a little bit harder, you know, to understand their music and, you know, what the drummer does. So, yeah, that was it. That was all by myself, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't have tabs back then or anything like that, or YouTube.
No, man. No. That was, you know, back then was like, you know, if you studied drums, you play jazz music. You know, if you want to play thrash, you do it by yourself, you know.
Yeah,
but right. Then, you know, after 10 years or less, I met my drum teacher, which is still one of my best friends and my drum mentor. His name is Yannis Stavropoulos. And that guy was, you know, he stepped it up for me. You know, he was like, okay, I know you like what you do, and I'm going to help you to do it, you know, a little bit better. So he believed in me. He believed in what I do. And, you know, he was just, you know, pushing me to play better, but, you know, still keep my style. So that was, for me, and I still think is, you know, the best thing ever happened to me.
Yeah. You know, for me, because I'm not a drummer. I have a lot of drummers around me, mm-hmm. My brother, my friends, but I heard about you quite a while ago. And I took a pretty big interest in you just because of your YouTube videos. And the big thing for me was the 1 foot double bass and the swivel techniques. When did all that start?
I think actually the 1 foot blast started back in 92 or something, you know, when, you know, the first Morbid Angel albums came out, you know. So I heard the blast beat and I was like, okay, I like this. This is extreme. I want to do this, you know. So I started practicing the blast beats. Back then it was all 1 foot because the speed was reasonable, you know, like 200 BPM, you know, everybody can play 1 foot blast with a little bit of, you know, trying. But then the 2 foot blast, the 2 foot blasters came in and, you know, they started pushing the limits, you know, up to 250, 240, you know, whatever. But, you know, living in Greece and, you know, not watching shows like so often, you know, we don't get really, we used to actually, we used to not see many bands live here. Now, thankfully, it changed, you know, so many bands come and play. So I had no idea about the 2 foot blast. So I was just, you know, hearing in the albums and I was like, man, this is so fast, you know. So I was pushing. And I made my 1 foot to go up to 250, 260, whatever, you know. So it was an accident, I think. Yeah, it was. I mean, you know.
Was anybody else doing it?
There were, I remember
at that
reading,
speed and.
I remember reading interviews of Pete Sandoval, you know, talking about the 1 foot blast, but I had no idea what was the cheating way he was talking about, you know, the alternative way. So I was just doing what he said, you know, the original traditional thing. And then I heard about the 2 foot blasters, you know, which is cool. It's, I mean, it kind of sounds the same, but for me, the feel is different. Plus, when you can play 250 single foot blasting, you know, for example, you can also double bass at 250. That's the thing, you know. So I did a little bit of extra work, which I think it paid off. As far as the swivel thing, and I think it all came, although it was really early from coming from Pete Sandoval and Steve Ashim from D-Side and all these legends, you know, back then, I think the guy who actually pushed me to do it was Derek Roddy. And he was talking about this on a Modern Drummer interview. So I was like, okay, what is this side-to-side thing, you know, he was talking about? And then he released a video CD back in 2003, I think. And you couldn't really see his legs, but, you know, I could, you know, see what's going on. So I tried to copy it and, you know, that's it. People think I'm the swivel inventor or something.
Yeah.
Which is very funny. And, of course, I do it for years, but... I'm not, you know, that goes back to 91 or something, I think, from Pete Sandoval. That was the first guy I saw back then.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It looks cool, but it's
does,
not mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very impressed by it, especially I don't know a whole lot about it, but you know, the other thing that comes to mind is just endurance and how you maintain on stage doing that for so long. Is that a big part of it, you know, building up the endurance for that much speed?
The swivel thing has nothing to do... With speed that many people think, or, you know, with endurance and everything, it has to do a little bit with balance. You know, balance, it helps me a lot, you know, because of the different motion. You know, one foot goes up and down, the other one goes up and down, but also slides a little bit. So it used to help me, you know, like balance wise, and that's it. That's it. You know, I mean, nothing really, really important, you know. And I know it's a big thing, and many people talk about this, you know, and they put my name into their conversations. But I tried to stop doing it until I saw some comments on YouTube that, like, people really loved it. So I'm like, okay, if people like it, then I will keep it, you know. That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't be more honest, you know.
Right, yeah.
But endurance, sorry to interrupt you, comes from music. And that's it, you know, endurance and speed and everything, you know, it's all about music. And this is why I say many times, if you got the technique and you got and a practice room and you can spend like 10 hours a day, you will never be able to play extreme metal if you don't really love extreme metal, you know. This is a music that requires a lot of passion, you know. Just playing with bands and, you know, it comes together. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Is it still something that you're pretty passionate about as far as listening to new music or finding new music, or do you stick with the older stuff?
I do. Well, I think both. I mean, bands like Creator, for example, I can't have enough. You know, I love the band. You know, I just listen to it and reminds me of my early years, but I still love their new stuff. So I love the early Sepultura, Sodom, you know, Creator, all these bands, Morbid Angel. But I also listen to new stuff, of course. Not so much metal, to be honest, as far as new stuff goes. Like, I prefer to discover like different styles of music that will inspire me to do something different, you know. I mean, it's a really nice and nice world, you know. Like I love death metal. It's very intensive as well. But the problem is, like, for example, a few days ago I uploaded a video of me jamming in one old song from Nile, and many people are like, "Oh yeah, the feels are the same, blah blah blah." And you know, I mean, technique wise, this is great, but you play the same thing. I'm like, guys, this is a song. I mean, I can give you gospel chops in this song, you know, it's no problem. But, you know, I mean, is this right for the song? I mean, think about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I listen to different stuff and try to do something different, you know, for the future, you know, and every album, for example.
Yeah, to try and give it a little bit different spark or flavor to mix things up. That makes sense.
Yes, but not for the crowd, for me, mostly. I mean, sure. Of course, I read the comments and, you know, some people love what I do and some people maybe hate what I do, you know, but whatever I do and, you know, all the progress I want to have and everything, you know, it's all about me, you know, because that's, you know, when you have the fire for music, otherwise it's a job, you know. I don't want to make it a job.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if you changed it too much too, you'd have people telling you to go back to what you were doing before. So you probably can't win either way.
Well, the thing is, like, if I change it, you know, like Metallica did in Load, for example, and everybody was hate them, for example, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If I like it, you know, it's okay. That's the thing. Right. If I like it, you know, it's fine with me. So maybe one day I will change and I will play in a four-piece kit and I will play jazz or, you know, whatever, you know. If I'm happy, it's cool. If I try to stick to what people want, you know, for me that's a sellout, to be honest, you know. Not playing, for example, like a different style, and people will be like, oh, this is sellout, you know, this is not extreme anymore, you know, blah, blah, blah. But for me, do the same for the crowd, you know, that's a real sellout, you know. I want to do whatever I want to do, and this is why I play music.
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, I wanted to get your opinion on triggers and drums, because we had a couple of our listeners ask questions on what our opinion is on drums in metal. I believe you use triggers. What's your opinion on triggers, and is there a place where it can become laziness with them, or what do you think about them?
That's a good question. I think that's like a two-hour answer, but I'm going to try to make it short. Well, the bass drum, okay, it's a big drum with a lot of moving air inside. So if you don't use triggers and you want that clicky sound and, you know, like you want this no dynamics and you want the kick like up front, you know, you have to use a lot of gates and compression, you know, like all this stuff, which for me, this is a form of triggering anyways. So I see people watching like bands, like I don't want to say names, but big bands that use no triggers, but they have a sound engineer which uses shitloads of gates and compressions, like all this stuff, and they're like, he's not triggering, but this is even worse. They don't get it, you know. So for music, for death metal music, we want the crowd to get the kick drums, you know, like up front, like feel the kick drums very well.
Yeah, and that's the best part.
Super fast. So that's impossible. That's impossible. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that above like 190 or something BPM. There is no way. There is no way. So we have to use triggers. Also, my guitar player, when they pick 16 notes, they got to have like some a clean sample, okay, to follow me. So we all, you know, we all together. So I think it's a necessary thing. It is true that sometimes it makes some drummers a little bit lazy and they're tapping the kicks, you know, and they sound like very intensive. And when you watch them, you know, playing, you're like, is this all, you know, I'm like, oh man, this is, you know, I don't like this. I had this as well. But the reality is like the music is very, very extreme. It's super fast. There is no other way to make it happen, you know. So, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got to hit the trigger anyways. I mean, you got to play the kick drum. You got to hit the kick drum to get the sample anyway. So it's not that cheating, you know. Sometimes maybe makes a few drummers lazy, but not all of them, you know. It's just, I think, you know, sometimes.
So, it kind of, yeah, it depends more on the drummer and their skill. You could go either way with it.
Yes, you can, obviously. But when you go live, people will see you. You know, if they see like a, and this is why many drummers get these tapper comments. You know, they're like, "Oh man, you know, this guy is a tapper. Blah blah blah. He's tapping."
And
you know,
okay.
There's so many bad talks on either end. You know, it's insane. But like I said, I think we give him the chance to say it anyways, because some of us will play like super soft. Again, it's super fast music, so I don't know any other way to make it happen and, you know, like get the kick drums up front, you know, with natural kicks anyways.
Sure.
Yeah, and oh, also, sorry to interrupt again, it's also a matter of the style. For example, I see many black metal guys like triggering toms and snares, like everything, but it fits the music, you know?
Oh, right, yeah, true.
If one black metal band asked me to join them and, you know, like record the album and, you know, whatever, and they're like a kind of like a Dimmu Borgir style, you know, black metal, I would definitely trigger everything because it fits the style. So that's another aspect as well.
No, I like that. That clears it up quite a bit for me. Mm-hmm. That's just a very popular question you'll see online, or people trashing drummers just for using triggers in general. So I just wanted to get a different someone with some reputable information on that one.
Well, can they do better? If somebody can do better, okay. If you can play 260 with natural kicks, I mean, I can do it. I can hear my kicks when I play 260. I can hear them on stage. But the problem is, like, you will never hear them, on, you know, when you're in the crowd and we play live, you will never get them up front the way you get them with triggers. So I don't like triggers anyways myself. I don't like, all these electronic stuff, you know, because we play a very natural instrument. But it's necessary, you know? I mean, a distortion pedal on the guitar player, it's the same thing, actually.
Right. That's a good point.
Yes, because then you get dynamics and you hear, like, can you imagine a band playing, like, super fast 60 notes with no distortion?
Right.
It's going to be like a...
Right.
You know? It's going to sound, like, stupid, you know? So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, another thing, I noticed you do a ton of, a good amount of session work with other bands.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you approach that? Is that a challenge going in and working with a band that kind of has a different sound than what you're used to? Or is that just kind of like a fun part of it to change things up?
Actually, it sounds like a job. Like, for example, when I'm here, I get my own studio. I can record for other bands and, you know, make some money. But that's not the case. Otherwise, you know, I will play, you know, for five bands every month. I try to play for bands that will give me something different than, you know, my solo project, for example, or Nile will give me, you know. So I have a chance to work for hard rock bands and speed metal bands, some more like dancey death metal stuff, you know. So every time I hear something different and nice, of course, you know, I'm like, okay, yes, of course, you know, I want to do this. And we talk with the band and, you know, we figure out everything. And I try to challenge myself and get into this position, you know. I think one of the most extreme stuff I did was the album for the band Out Loud. I don't know if you know this band. It's a Greek band, like a hard rock, like, or classic metal stuff, you could say as well.
Okay.
But I try to make myself sound like a hard rock drummer, you know? You know, with that fat snare and, you know, like all my fast fast beats were like kind of like on the upbeat. And anyways, you know, like some you know, a few details that I really want to, you know, touch, you know, playing with a band, something like really different. So of course it is a job, obviously, you know. Of course I make a living out of recording for other bands, but I try to pick up the bands and play like different style bands, you know. I mean, you will never know, except one session actually, which was a great band from Italy. The name is Ade.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
You will never hear me playing any other band and like close to Nile stuff or my stuff, you know?
Sure, sure.
So it is a personal challenge and some fun times for me.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I always like to hear a drummer or someone in a different environment just to hear what they bring to the table.
Yeah.
What for all your projects, your solo stuff, everything? I'll probably play a couple songs on this episode. What are a couple that you're most proud of that you would want a listener to kind of hear what you have?
We're talking about Nile songs or
anything really. If it's just something that some tracks that you are really proud of.
That's a tough question. I don't know. I'm proud for everything we did with Nile. Actually, I'm proud for pretty much everything I've done so far because I always try to pick up like very carefully what I want to play. But mostly, I think is my band, you know, Nile.
Yeah.
Because you know we're 12 years together and you know we worked our asses off, you know, all these years, and we've been through very rough times and we still keep going. The latest album is very strong. We worked very, very hard for this one. And also, I'm very proud for my solo album as well.
Yeah, I hadn't even heard of that, and I've been listening to it a lot lately, and I've been really impressed.
Oh, thank you. That's not a band, actually. That's
Your solo project.
Yeah, it was a personal thing. You know, I wrote some songs and released them on my drum DVDs, and people started to ask me about them. So I'm like, okay, let's do an album, you know? So finish this album and it's all me, you know, playing all the instruments. So that's something like I'm very, very proud for it. So I would say mostly, yeah, everything from Nile or my solo project is what really represents what I'm feeling and doing, you know?
Right, sure. Off the solo album, do you have any plans to do that again or is that a kind of a one-time thing?
Actually, I have a contract for another album with Season of Mist. Yeah, so I'm already writing the new album, which I probably plan to record around December. You know, start recording drums and everything. It's a really fun process for me. You know, I take it like slowly. You know, track guitars, you know, and bass and everything, and one thing at a time. You know, and just try to enjoy it because I do it myself. So it's something very unique because I have 100% control of everything and you know a vision which you know comes my way. You know. I make everything the way I want.
Yeah,
it's not an ego thing. I hope you take you know you understand what I'm saying. It's like a fun project. That's all.
Like an art type of thing, just kind of give your own ideas out there.
Exactly. Yeah, you have something in your mind. You're like, okay, I want to make it sound like this, and you know, you get closer and closer and closer. Sometimes maybe it comes different, but if you have a band, you know, somebody will propose something differently and then a different song comes out and you're like, oh, okay, do I like this? You know, most times you like this, which is great, but this is all like moving to one vision. So yes, there is a new album coming next year.
That's awesome.
And really looking forward for the recordings. This is the most fun part for me, you know.
Are you ever going to try doing any of it live?
There are some thoughts about it, you know. I mean, I do play the songs on clinics and stuff, you know. Like every time I do clinics, people asking for songs. So, yes, I jam with the songs and I always got them with me. But I had this idea, you know, maybe hire a drummer and go out as a guitar player and singer.
Oh, that'd be different.
Yes, that'll be real fun, you know. That'll be the real fun. So maybe do something like a one thing, you know, maybe like a short tour or something and go out there as a guitar player. And singer, that'll be really funny. And actually, I know the drummer. I got the drummer already.
Can you say who it is?
No, no, I can't. But I got this guy is amazing. You know, he's one of us. You know, like he's pushing it. So I really like this drummer. Yeah,
that would be awesome. You know, with that too, you know, do you ever, since you can play guitar, I didn't realize, you know, you had the vocals and all that. Do you ever bring any of that to the table with Nile or do you stick mainly just with the drums?
The guys asked me many times, you know, to bring some riffs and stuff to the table. But to be honest, I never did it out of respect for the band because, you know, my guitar playing is like, the level of my guitar playing is really low compared to Nile. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nile is really, really pushing it. I mean, if you see Carl and Dallas on their personal life every day, they have like practice time.
Mm.
I mean, if you're at that level and you practice every day, there is no way the drummer will bring something. You'll be like, oh man, this is amazing. So, you know, just let me just say that, you know, I don't want to bring them in a tough position because, you know, if I say I got this song, blah, 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 you know, they will, you know, they will listen to it and they will try to make it work. because, you know, we're together for so many years. But I don't think the level is there. So out of respect for the band, I never did it so far.
I hear you.
I do, though, a lot of arrangements. You know, I always propose stuff and we change stuff and, you know, everybody's listening. And, you know, I do musical stuff, but not bring guitar riffs. It's a very sensitive thing for me, you know?
Right, right. No, that's cool. I mean, because you can tell you've got the skill, the songwriting skill, just based off the solo material. So I think that would be a good, at least, aspect of the band that you guys can kind of all chip in, at least on that aspect.
I think I think it works great, but the guitar playing level is very low. So
sure,
let's keep it this way.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think that was about it. I was going to ask one other question I kind of had forgotten about. And I don't even know if you were there for that whole situation in Russia that happened with Carl and the guys from Belphegor and everything.
Oh yeah,
that was a crazy situation. Were you there for that one?
That was insane. First, let me say the Russian crowd is one of the best in the world. Done, like hands down, these guys are amazing. You know, we always have a great time there. You know, that was the second time for me in Russia.
Yeah,
and we really, really, really enjoyed. Now the problem was like some Orthodox activists, you know, or something. You know, some one of those weird things. You know, I'm not against religion or any style of religion. You know, for me, I'm really a neutral. You know, in this stuff, and I don't really go against everything. But for me, if you're like a fanatic Orthodox or a Satanist, you know, it's weird already, you know.
Sure.
So it's very stupid. So these guys were on the Orthodox side, but very fanatics, and they obviously had problems with Belphegor, you know, Helmut, the singer mainly. So they attacked us, you know, at the airport, and I was actually the very last guy, you know, dragging some guitars and cymbals and all the stuff. So when I went out from the airport, you know, I saw people spitting each other. I was like, what the hell is going on? You know, so if you see the video, you will see me like, what's going on? You know, I'm trying to ask people. So I think it was unnecessary. You know, it was very, very stupid. And Belphegor definitely didn't deserve this stuff. And the only thing that happened, obviously it wasn't our problem because, you know, we're not talking about Satan, you know, in our music. But we support Belphegor, you know. We support our brothers, you know. We tour with them many years. We know they're great musicians, and you know they just play music, and people want to listen to Belphegor. They wanted to see Belphegor, so we tried to support them. That was it, you know. And I think it was really funny, you know. Then we were on the news on TV in Russia, you know. It was it got too big, you know, for no reason. But either way, we got away, and unfortunately, Belphegor had to cancel 4 shows.
Wow.
So they only played in Moscow, and the funny thing is that they played with somebody mute their vocals
without
them know. So they were playing, and they were, you know, they were thinking, you know, oh, we do the show, you know, and then they got, you know, to the crowd, they talked to the crowd, and it was like, why didn't he have vocals?
Oh, my gosh.
It was really bad for them. It was really hard for us as well. But, you know, things happened. And unfortunately, Russia, I think Cannibal Corpse had it as well. And definitely Behemoth. You know, we'll get better soon, I hope.
Yeah, sure. That's a pain. But at least it didn't escalate any worse than that or anything.
No. They just, there were people outside the clubs, you know, like protesting and doing stuff. But we didn't got our asses kicked.
Sure.
So... Yeah, we're fine. And that's funny because I'm a Christian Orthodox too. You know, I'm from Greece, so my passport says Christian Orthodox, which is, so I could be like, no, not me. Yeah. don't kick me.
right.
No, we all got it the same. And, you know, like I said, you know, Russian crowd is the best and we will go there again. I hope things will get better, but it is what it is.
Sure. No, yeah, definitely, man. Well, listen, I really want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks, man. Yeah, thanks so much, man. Thanks so much.